Like for you to turn, please, in your New Testaments to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 25 there in just a moment. Kyle, I hope to establish in the class this morning that it's okay to be concerned about worry. It's just not okay to worry about worry. And we will be drawing a distinction between concern and worry. Really been looking forward to being with you this week in this gospel endeavor. And I have some more I want to say in the way of personal remarks, but I want to reserve those remarks for later this morning. Let's go ahead and get right into the study. I want you to imagine that it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and a busy day of work is just a few hours away. You've been tossing and turning since you have been in bed because your head has been full of worry. And you know you're not going to be fresh for the day's activities. And now you can't quit worrying because you know you're not going to be fresh on the job. And so finally you do fall off to sleep, only to be wakened by the alarm clock, it seems, in just a matter of minutes. Now, it's probably not a question of whether or not you've ever had a night like that. It's more a question of when and how often. But you know, Jesus did say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry. Now, let's read this together. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now you see, Jesus said, do not worry. And He said it several times there. Verse 25, do not worry. Verse 28, so why do you worry? Verse 31, therefore do not worry. And then the last verse of that reading, verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Do you get the idea that Jesus is teaching in this sermon that we're to not worry? And you know, His apostles taught that we are to not worry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, be anxious for nothing. And we'll take a look a little bit later on at that verse. Be anxious for nothing. It is a command, but it is an often neglected command. Do not worry. Now, I want to point out some things from what we've just read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Which, if we will remember, it will help us to deal with the problem of worry in our lives. Now, also, I want to say, by way of introduction, that I want to draw a distinction between legitimate concern and sinful worry. Now, legitimate concern, all right, that's good. Sinful worry, not good. We need to keep that out of our lives. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6 when He said, do not worry. But when does legitimate concern cross the line into sinful worry? We need to talk about that. So we want to go ahead and get into the body of the lesson now. And Jesus said, do not worry. And now if we'll remember this, it will help us to eliminate... Oh, yes, I forgot to turn that off, Kyle. I'm sorry. First of all, remember to put God first in your life. That's part of this reading. Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, we've made the point several times that a lot of times when you find the word kingdom in the New Testament, you could substitute the word rule, and you have the idea. We're to seek first the kingdom or the rule of God in our lives. We need an undivided loyalty to the rule of God or to the kingdom. And the reason that I've worded it that way, an undivided loyalty, is because in Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus said, right here in this immediate context, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now you'll notice that Jesus did not say, you should not serve God and mammon, or material riches. He said you cannot serve God and mammon, or material riches. It is an impossibility. So you're going to have to choose your loyalty. Where will your loyalty be? Choose your master. The Lord of your life is either of a material nature or it is of a spiritual nature. But no man can serve two masters. Also, in this immediate context, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, when Jesus said in the first part of verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, He doesn't mean by that as the disciples of Jesus Christ, we ought to take a vow of poverty. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Also, He is not saying there that it is wrong to save up for retirement or for old age. But when Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, He is issuing a warning against putting the emphasis on that which will ultimately be lost. Why in the world would we emphasize in our lives things that are not lasting and are not of true value? Now, we need to make spiritual gains our treasure. I want to make a statement right now that I believe we'll all agree with, and then we want to build on that. I believe we'll all agree with this statement. When our minds are consumed with worry over material concerns, our minds will be distracted from God, from kingdom concerns, and from things that are lasting and of real value. I think we'll agree with that. Oh, maybe we'll agree on this statement. When our minds are consumed with God, our minds are consumed with kingdom concerns, and Jesus did say there in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when our minds are consumed with God and with kingdom concerns and with things that are lasting and of real value, then our minds will be distracted from the material things that people commonly worry about. Well, that will help us to deal with worry then. Make sure your mind is consumed with spiritual things. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then there is that promise in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. And all these things, what things? These things that He's been talking about in the context, material things. All these things, these material needs, will be added to you. And that brings me to the next point. Something else that we need to remember to deal with worry, remember to throw your worries on God. Now, we're going to return to our text in Matthew chapter 6, but I want to go now to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting all your care, all your worries, your anxieties upon Him. Now, you know what it means to cast. Casting. If you cast a fishing line into the water, you know what you're doing. You're throwing it into the water. All right, now, the reason that God does not want us to keep our cares and our worries to ourselves, but He wants us to cast or to throw them on God, is mentioned right here in this verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you. God has regard and concern for His people. You know, that's what Jesus is teaching in our text in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. God has regard or concern for His people. Cast your cares on Him. In Matthew 6, verse 25, there is an argument from the greater to the lesser. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? An argument from the greater to the lesser. God has already given us the greater thing, life. He's given us our bodies. Then don't you think we can count on Him to provide for the things that are needful for our lives, needful for our bodies? You know, Paul went to Athens, Acts chapter 17. He found the city given over to the practice of idolatry. He said, you people don't know the God that I serve. I've come to town to tell you about it. He's the God, this is not anything I'm doing, is it? He's the God who made the world and everything in it. And so, He gives to all life, breath, and all things, Paul said there in Acts chapter 17. Now, if God's already given us life, He's already given us our bodies, then surely we can count on Him to provide the things that are needful for our bodies and for our lives. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, there is an argument from the lesser to the greater. He said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You see, he starts off reasoning from the birds. And then he says, are you, that is a human being, are you not of more value than they? From the lesser to the greater. And he says, if God provides for the lowly birds, then surely we can count on Him to provide for us. In verses 28 through 30, there's another argument from the lesser to the greater. He said, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I understand that the grass of the field or the lilies used for kindling in that, at that time. And if God adorns with such beauty that which serves as fuel for men, then don't you think we can count on God to provide for the men who are served by the fuel? And then he asks in the last part of verse 30, O you of little faith. I want to make the point now that a failure to throw our troubles, a failure to throw our worries on God is a demonstration of a lack of trust in God. All right? Notice in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Now, there's a prohibition that is universal. How many things can we legitimately be anxious about? He said, be anxious for nothing. But while that prohibition is universal, the antidote or the remedy to worry is also universal. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Supplication. That's a form of prayer making request of God. It is a crying out to God and saying, God, help me. Now, what's the result of that? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said the result is that the peace of God will come into your lives. Now, what's the peace of God? Peace is an inner calm. It is a tranquility of mind, which is the opposite of worry or anxiety. But he calls it the peace of God, and I'm convinced that he calls it the peace of God because it is the kind of peace that only God can give. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Paul said, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace. You know, joy and worry cannot coexist in the heart. How could they? Joy and worry cannot live together. But joy and peace can. Joy and this inner calm or tranquility of mind, the opposite of worry, they can live together in the same heart. Where do they come from? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in trusting God. So again, I say to you that a failure to throw our troubles and our worries on God is a manifestation of a lack of trust in God. Jesus, when he said, do not worry in Matthew chapter 6, he said, oh, you of little faith. And then this will help us to deal with worry. Remember to live one day at a time. Again in our text, Matthew chapter 6, now verse 34. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And when Jesus said sufficient for the day is its own trouble, he's saying, you know, you've got trouble enough today. Without adding to today's troubles the worries of tomorrow. Remember to live life one day at a time. All right, there are four things I want to say to you about remembering to live life one day at a time. First thing I want to say about it is the obvious. Don't be constantly living tomorrow in your mind. If you wear yourself out with the worries of tomorrow, you're not going to be able to deal with today. You see, God wants us to live today. And there's only so much we can do about today and its troubles. And the rest we must leave with the Father. But that's the first thing I want to say about remembering to live one day at a time. Don't be constantly living tomorrow in your mind. Second thing I want to say about it, perpetual worry about tomorrow paralyzes us. It just renders us inoperative. You know, William Barclay said, there may be greater sins than worry, but there is no more disabling sin. All right, I don't know if I agree with the first part of that statement when William Barclay said, there may be greater sins than worry. We've already demonstrated from the Scriptures that worry might be a demonstration of a lack of trust in God. But I tell you, I do agree with the second part of that statement when he said, there is no more disabling sin than worry. You know, I'm about to make a confession right now, and I'm not very proud of what I'm about to say. But it's true. There have been times in my life, and I'm doing a lot better with that now. But in the past, There were times when I sat at my desk, unable to focus on sermon preparation and Bible class preparation because I was too stressed out about the worries of tomorrow. I'm not proud of that. But worry about tomorrow paralyzes us. Worry today cannot solve the problems of tomorrow, but they can just add to the problems you have today. And when I'm not taking care of today's business because of the worries of tomorrow, and I tell you, legitimate concern has crossed the line into sinful worry. You see, I've got some business to take care of today in my home. Husband. I'm a father. And I have other people in my home who are looking to me to function. I also have some responsibilities to take care of in the church. Aside from the fact that I'm a preacher, just because I'm a member of the local congregation in Springdale, Arkansas, I have some responsibilities to perform. There are other people to me to function in the local congregation. Do I need to turn this off, you think? To the lapel. Okay. All right. I've been worried about this the whole time. Okay. Okay, we'll try that. Maybe that's it. Okay. Slow learner. Maybe I'll look. Right. Do what? Okay, where was I? Oh, yes, I have responsibilities. And I have a responsibility in the church or people who are looking to function in the church. And when I'm not taking care of today's business in the local congregation or in my home or in any other area of my life where I have responsibilities to perform, then it may very well be that legitimate concern has crossed the line into sinful worry. All right. Now the red light's on. Is it supposed to be?
The third thing I want to say about remembering to live one day at a time, there is a difference between worrying about tomorrow and planning for tomorrow. One is legitimate and the other one isn't. Somebody said, you know, Jesus did not condemn forethought, but their thought. That's right. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount did not condemn forethought and planning for the future. But he did condemn fear of thought. Well, what's fear of thought? Fear of thought is having a mind that's full of fears and anxieties about the future, as opposed to simply having legitimate concerns about the future that we may plan for and take action about. You know, I might ask, all right, what if I die? What if I die today? What's going to happen to Tracy and to my children tomorrow? You know, I shouldn't sit around all the time and worry about that. But I tell you what I think I should do. I should take out a life insurance policy. Now, you see, there is a difference between acting on our legitimate concerns for the future and then just sitting around and worrying about the future. Jesus did not condemn forethought, but He condemned fear thought. And then the fourth thing I want to say about remembering to live one day at a time. Often the troubles of tomorrow just never pan out. They just never happen. Somebody said, now, don't tell me worry didn't do any good. I know it does. Worry does some good because the things I worry about, they never happen. Well, they wouldn't have happened anyway. Just wasted a lot of mental energy. Mark Twain said, I've had a lot of troubles in my life, most of which never happened. And you know, that's the way it is with a lot of us. Well, we've got a lot of troubles, and most of them never happen. Have you ever just sat around and really worried, fretted about something that was going to happen tomorrow or next week, and, oh, you're stressed out, and, oh, it's really going to be bad. And then when tomorrow or next week has come and gone, you know, it really wasn't that bad. And again, we wasted a lot of mental energy. We worried over nothing. Often the troubles of tomorrow never pan out. So therefore, what? Well, just remember to live your life one day at a time. And then this will help us to deal with worry. And I know I didn't do that. Remember that worry just doesn't do any good. In Matthew 6, verse 27, Jesus said, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" You cannot add to your life more years or more height by worrying. You know, there's some discussion about what Jesus meant here in Matthew 6:27. Did he mean number of years, length of life, or did he mean physical stature? Well, I think he meant physical stature. But I tell you, I answer like this. It doesn't matter, because you cannot increase either one by worrying about them. If my time is almost up here on this earth, I cannot add more years to my life by worrying. I might subtract years from my life by worrying, but I can't add them. And if I wanted to be a foot taller than I am, which I did when I was in high school, for sports reasons, if I wanted to be a foot taller than I am, I tell you, I can't worry myself into that. Now, you know, I'm not telling you anything you didn't already know. We already knew that it doesn't do any good to worry about things that are beyond our control. But you know, the hard part is just applying what we already know to be true. And if we could just apply what we know to be true, we wouldn't worry about those kind of things, would we? You know, parents, they have a legitimate concern about bringing their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They want their children to grow up and to be faithful servants to God. And they act upon those legitimate concerns while there's time and opportunity. But parents, when we have a child that decides later in life to rebel against what we've taught them, rebel against our parental authority, rebel against God, I tell you, parents, we cannot worry our children into behaving right. We cannot worry them into submission. I'd like to illustrate this with the young people. Young people, you know, you have legitimate concerns about making good grades at school. I believe you ought to have legitimate concerns like that. And you act upon those legitimate concerns because there's a scholarship offer out there, or that college or university into which you would like to gain entrance. But young people, when that A that you have really been striving for, you see that it's out of reach, you can't worry yourself into an A. And I just wish that we would all apply what we know to be true. It just doesn't do any good to worry about things that are beyond our control. What you can control, act upon it. Do something about it. Act upon your legitimate concerns. But in areas where we don't have any control, why worry? Just leave it with the Father. And then this will help us remember that it is the unbeliever's place to worry. Are you a Christian? It's not your place to worry. It's the place of the non-Christian to worry. Matthew 6, verses 31 and 32. "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek." Well, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But Jesus said, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek." Now, who are the Gentiles? Well, the way we might say it today is, well, those who are not members of the church. You know, or unbelievers. And He said, they seek after those things. But you know, it's like Jesus is saying to His disciples, but you ought to have a more spiritual outlook than them. And yet, you're acting like a bunch of Gentiles. You're acting like a bunch of unbelievers, all hung up on material concerns. That's their thing, to worry about material things here on this earth. You know, I really do believe that people who are not members of the Lord's church, they ought to worry. I think they ought to. I think they're supposed to. People who are unbelievers, they ought to worry about losing their health. They ought to worry about losing their jobs. They ought to worry about the economy. Because after all of their affections are tied to the things of this earth. Well, since that's the case, they ought to worry about those things. But it's like Jesus is saying here in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, but let them do that. That's their thing, to worry themselves sick day and night over things pertaining to this world. That's their thing. It's not your thing. Your thing is to trust the Lord. Oh, you of little faith. He says, don't you know that God provides for the birds? Don't you know that God provides for the lilies of the field? That's their thing, to worry themselves sick over things of this life. Let them do that. Your place is to put your trust in God. That will help us to deal with worry if we'll remember what Jesus said there. And then here's one other thing that I want to mention. I don't have this up there on the screen. It's not part of Matthew chapter 6, but I want to include it anyway. Remember that worry is sometimes self-inflicted due to sin in our lives. In other words, we just do it to ourselves by the choices that we make. You know, we do what's wrong. We violate the will of God. And then we feel guilty. And we know that God knows about us. And then we worry about that. We worry about dying. Well, what if I die in this condition? I know where I would be for an eternity. We worry about that. And besides that, when we do what is wrong, we're constantly looking over our shoulder, wondering when one of our loved ones will find out about us. Someone that we love and respect, and we want this person to respect us. When's this person going to find out about what I've done? And then we feel guilty and we worry about all of that. But I want to say to you that if we are plagued with guilt and worry because of the sin in our lives, then that can be provided for. That can be provided for on the basis of forgiveness. You know, I've talked a lot about the relevancy of the Bible. A lot of times people think, well, now, is the Bible really relevant? I don't think it's relevant. Because after all, here's a book that was completed about 2,000 years ago. And look at modern man, 2010. I mean, we've been to the moon, we live in a highly sophisticated technological age, and the Bible doesn't have any bearing on modern man. Yes, it does. When you hook up the Bible with the most serious needs that relate to man, you automatically and thereby establish relevancy. And one of the most serious needs that we have is freedom from guilt. All right, how's the Bible related? Well, you got Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 31, quoted by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. And when we comply with God's terms of pardon as revealed in the new covenant, then we have forgiveness. Acts 22:16. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Every sin that we've ever committed can be forgiven, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ when we in faith respond to the gospel call. Does that mean class is over? 5 minutes, about 3 or 4 minutes now. That's all I have. But I want to say though, in closing, that if you think that the themes that I've discussed here in this Bible class, that these cannot help us with the problem of worry in our lives, need to put your efforts where your doubts are. Because this will work. You know why this list up here on the screen, you know why that list will work? It will work because it's not my list. That's why. It will work because it's the Lord's list. This is what the Lord taught. Did the Lord teach that? Isn't that what we've seen here in Matthew chapter 6? And we need to put our trust in the Lord and what He said right there in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, do not worry. He said it several times there. But He also told us the things that we need to remember to help us deal with the problem of worry in our lives. I want to thank you very much for your attention this morning.